I'd like to invite now Pastor Gary Newhart to present the ministry to us.
It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be home. Someone said to me tonight, he says, you're just like part of us here. And you know, that's the way I feel too. It's always good to. And most of all, we appreciate your prayers. We're doing fine. She tells all the little things, and I try to keep those things to a minimum because I'm doing good. She is too. It's just that we have a few little things we have to deal with. You all know that, right? I mean, the knees ache, the feet hurt, this, that. You got all those things. That's just part of living. That's how I look at it. And I'm just happy to be alive today and being able to share with you folks tonight. We've been having a busy time around our mission. We sent out 18 invitations to men all over the world. And there were a couple that got accepted, but they were way too late. They didn't get in there on time. You see, time doesn't mean anything when you get outside of the United States. They operate by the sun. When the sun goes down, it's time to go to sleep. When the sun rises, it's time to get up. And that's the way it works. But we ended up with four men. And I always believe and I pray, Lord, out of all these 18 men, will you send us the ones you want to have here? And it never fails. God sends us just the right group. And we've got four tremendous men that are here in the States right now. The other three teams are out running around doing just what we're doing tonight. Just pray for them. It's hard to come to a foreign country that you've never been to before. And none of these fellas, only one had been here before, but not under IGM. So Brother Cruz is going to share with you in a minute. This is his first time to the United States. He tried six times before and got turned down every time. But for some reason, only known to God, he opened the door and let him in this time. And it's exciting to see what God does through these fellows' lives and through the paradigm of trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And together we can do it. We know that. And they come here and we sit them down for a week and a couple pastors, two or three pastors come in and share. We share about the mission, how everything's supposed to work, you know, the great plans that you lay down that become flexible eventually, which is good because we don't want to tie God's hands in any way, shape, or manner. And it's just been a joy to have them here. After Wednesday and Thursday this week, we'll be halfway through our church visits. It'll be halfway there. I'm excited with what God is doing. And the first two churches we went, they are general churches for all four at the same time. And the Lord took care of all of our air tickets. $9,500 were taken care of in the first two churches we went to. Isn't that amazing? One little church. This for to be an encouragement to you. There were about 150 there, maybe 170 people. But they had been collecting for quite some time, and they give the whole service, the whole offering to the mission at that time. But they gave over $10,500. I mean, you just, folks, I don't share that with you to embarrass you or to even challenge you. I just share that with you to say this is what God does when he's in it. You know, when God's in it, we're going to win. We can't lose. So I'm excited because now when these fellas are out here, they just have a few little expenses they have to take care of, and all the rest gets to go to them. So when they get home, they can put it to work. It's like a shot in the arm of adrenaline because they just scrimp and scratch to get by every week and every day. And then when they come here and they get to go home with something, it just is like a shot in the arm and away we can go. And they know that you're with them. And Pastor Cruz is getting to understand that you people here in America are just like his people over there. And we need encouragement. We need to be challenged, right? And we need to be lifted up. And we don't need to look at all the negatives. There's too many negatives anyway out there. We just need to know and look at what we have in Jesus, right? And that's a whole lot better. And so we're just grateful for what God is doing. And it's all about him. It's not about any of us. And so as Pastor Cruz comes and shares with you tonight, he's going to take some time in the first part of the service to share about his ministry. We've told him to take a little, he's got a little more time than normal for some. And so he's going to take about 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, and share with you about his ministry, tell you some stories, and tell you about his salvation, how God delivered him from iniquity in the highest degrees, and just share his heart. I hope you get to know him. He loves people, he loves children, and you'll see all that tonight for sure. God bless you, Pastor Cruz. It's if you want to say his whole name, it's Pastor Aldefonso Cruz. You can call him Cruise Control if you'd like. But we call him Adele, Pastor Adele. And God bless you, my friend, as you share.
Good evening. Before I will share with you some presentation and my message tonight, first I would like to thank Pastor Newhart for sending me an invitation. And all the churches, even tonight, thank you so much for accepting me, and I hope tonight we will enjoy together with the blessing given by God. Okay, I would like to introduce to you my this is my church. Okay, this is my church. Look at my family. I have my wife. Look at my wife. She's not a child, but only the height. She's teaching preschool in our school, and busy in doing the ministry of the church. We don't have rest since Monday until Saturday. We are working for God's ministry, and we really enjoy for that. In the ministry, in the place where God called me, the happiest moment is that we're enjoying doing that, even though no fixed amount. But we're happy to serve the Lord. We have one son. Every now and then, I praise the Lord because I have Skype, Messenger, and I talked to him and said, do you miss me? And I said, well, a little bit. I know he's going to miss me because every time we've been together, we have some fun before we go to bed. And right now, he's doing his ministry in the church, song leading every Wednesday, and help feeding the children every Saturday. Okay, this is my testimony. So I'm happy to preach the word of God. So I got saved. Every church, every time I have an opportunity to share to you how God changed my life, because in the Philippines, prostitution is very, very rampant. And prostitution is a way of or means of living. And during my 18 years old and 21 years old, and I am supposed to be a male prostitute in my country, I'm enjoying what is the world, but God has its own timing. He took me up. He led me to a place where God spoke to me. Because that time I'm so confused with what I am doing. I know God has been tired of leading me. And it was that night there was a Bible study and I heard about salvation. And the pastor quoting about John 3 verse 16 and he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And that pastor said, "And one of this is me." God loved so much in the world. Then I got saved. That was May 1989. Then I was baptized, followed in that month, August 1989. Then month of October 1989, I decided to enroll Bible school. I know God has a purpose why he got saved, why he saved me. Then, during that night, God spoke to me. "I have a purpose. I have a plan for you." So I entered Bible college. That is by faith. That's by faith. Then for that place that is in Manila, I have 2 years in college, Bible college. Then God spoke to me. I felt the burden in my heart that I need to go back in my hometown. I started to look back and said to God, "Lord, send me back to my hometown. I want my people, I want my family to be saved," because until today, they're still in the world. June 1992 to March 1995, so I attended Bible college, and the next one is, I would like to present to you my country. My country, sir. Yeah. Okay. From 1995 through 1999, I served as an outreach pastor. Okay. I graduated in 1995, but here is the problem. I want to go back from the place where I got saved. And the pastor talked to me. "Among the graduates, you are the best one to take care of the church, because the church that I have now, it was a talk over work. Because the pastor is not doing good. It has a bad reputation in our place." So I refused God's calling. I want to go back where I got saved. But the pastor, "No, you are the one." So it's a big challenge for me. When I was there, I saw the church building being abandoned. And God spoke to me, and God touched my heart. But again, I'm asking God, "Lord, what can I do for this place? It's not good in the sight of people." But God said, "You are the one. Just stay there. Just come to me." So I started to pray, and God will open to me an opportunity that is a vacation Bible school. I started to look up and find ways, strategies, approaches, how can I survive in the ministry? How can I win people? How can I erase in the mind of people the bad thing happened? And it was God's work So after Vacation Bible School, I have 50 children. Then during Vacation Bible School, I have writing, reading, and everything. And God leading me, because some parents of that Vacation Bible School wanted me to open up a kindergarten school. And that was June 1995. Then, every Sunday, I invite the students with their parents. So every Sunday, all the chairs in the church has been filled out. I'm thinking about of strategy. I know the Lord Jesus Christ has his own strategy how to catch people. I got married. We are now, this coming September 24, we celebrating our wedding anniversary, but it's sad to say I'm here and he's been there. But I know I'm here not because of me. I'm here because God has a plan, has a purpose for me. Became a pastor of Kandaman Baptist Church in April 1995. And here is my country. I know some of you are familiar with Philippines. You know, in Philippines, we have our own language and we have our own English accent. That's why some of you sometimes it's hard to, oh, what Pastor Cruz talking about? But that's my own accent. But I try to speak in an American accent. But in our school, the medium instruction is English. So here is my country. You know, Philippines has 7,100 islands. Yeah. And there are three biggest islands, the Luzon, the Mindanao, and the Visayas. Luzon is the capital city. Then, I belong to Visayas. No, we have different languages in Philippines. And Mindanao. I would like to emphasize Mindanao. You know, Mindanao is a place. It is a Muslim place. Hulu, Sulu, Zamboanga, you cannot go directly to Philippines without clearance from your country. So, what happened in this, in the monitor? No, it's lost. So I need to look back. Okay. Okay, the Irish one, that is my hometown, Cebu. That is my hometown. I know Zamboanga, Hulu, Sulu, and this place are very dangerous place. These are Muslims. If you have some friends, Filipino friends, try to talk to them. And they will told you about what is Zamboanga, what is Hulu, what is Sulu. But you know, in the Philippines, Catholic is a very big group of religion, because Catholics has 95%, and the rest of this is Christian church or born again Christian. So the island of Cebu, when you see the population 2010, the whole Philippines, it is 101,538,700. In our hometown, Cebu, composed of 866,171. And here, look at life expectancy, life span. People in Philippines, for women, that is 80. years old. For men, 70 years old. Because men in the Philippines doing a hard work. Look at the gross domestic product, 272.1 billion US dollar. So mentioned here 95% Roman Catholic. Then Philippine peso is $1 here is equivalent in our country 46.696. So it is a big money. Your peso is a big money for us in the Philippines. Oh, here is the amazing. Why I am using amazing word? Word amazing. We've been there, the old building, for 15 years. And that building was affected during typhoon last year and earthquake. And that building shaken. But I know God is the one who protect us inside the church building. And it was an amazing work. And here is now my new building. The problem in the Philippines is we can build a building, but we cannot buy the land. Because land in the Philippines are very expensive. We can build a nice building because we can use our debt, no? Construction materials. We can pay it monthly basis. That's what we did. But land, no. So we need to pray. This is my congregation. This is the new building. I really miss this church. Last Sunday, I talked to the people through Skype. Because in the house, mission house, all what we did is eat, study, and sleep. So I have time to fellowship. This is my congregation. Okay. One of the ministry that I have in the church is because we are fulfilling the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and we baptized last year 12 souls. And you know, some lady in the church this morning asking me, before you baptize, what did you do? We follow the proper candidate for baptism. You must be saved. The proper mode, that is by immersion. The proper motive is to glorify God. Before I baptize people, I must be sure that candidate is truly safe. When I coming back to Philippines coming October, I need to baptize 3 more souls. And this is my okay. Sunday school in our church is a big Sunday school. Because we will divide that children. What you saw is children from the area. Children from came from no families. Some of these children, no, being abused. So we have that in our church. So we need to divide that time. So there are some young people who are in charge with that children from area. So these children, during the Sunday school, we provide food for them. We provide hot dog. Because they came to church, didn't eat their breakfast. So what we did in the church, we feed them every Sunday. And I have now an outreach pastor. He is responsible. You know, that man, he decided to leave his job for the sake of taking place of my work as of now. So we have ministry in a mountain. So Friday, me and my wife and my son, we will spend time going to the mountain just to teach these children. So me, I'm teaching young people. Look at that. Then my wife teaching the smaller one. But it was a school days. We sacrifice ourselves. We left our job for the sake of these children. And the beauty of that, because this place just around the corner is just a Catholic chapel. They allowed us to teach children because this is my hometown. And I know God really works on that. Okay, Kanduman Christian Academy, this is the name of our school. Our school has been recognized by government. And we really, I thank God for that. And we have these teachers. You know, these teachers also, this is by faith. Some of them receiving a salary of $100 per month. But they're happy serving the Lord. And this is one of my department, preschool department, during graduation. They're wearing toga. Then we have feeding ministry. We need to fix all our schedules. Look at these children. These are public school students. We give them bundles of joy. Then feeding program. Here are some of the church members cooking porridge for feeding. And look at the children. They really enjoy eating the porridge. And look at the other group of children. And what we need in the ministry is, I pray that every month I have a regular support, because in the Philippines, though I have a school, I have a church, but still we are living by faith. I could not, the parents paying tuition fee, but it is very affordable. So we need to pray that regular support so that I can minister to my family. Then I need a brand new laptop computer, because in the office my computer is that's during the time of Moses. Yes, because computer in the Philippines very expensive. Then funds for a new support every month, because this man, he's resigning his job. He's starting the work. And when I go back to Philippines, we have a lot of schedules. An opportunity to win souls. And as I told you a while ago, that the greatest challenge that I have in the church is the land. Because after 10 years, that building will be destroyed. That's all. Then send all gifts to International Gospel Missions. I know they're doing a lot of work in the office. So this afternoon, I would like to share with you Colossians chapter 2. Book of Colossians. Chapter 2. Reading from verse 6 down to verse 12. Verse 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Note on that phrase, "As ye have received Christ, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." Praise the Lord. In Jesus Christ we are complete. "Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for having this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you, O God, for the supportive members. We pray that you will continue to bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How I'd like to share with you tonight is, look at verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ." Look at that. What do you mean by that? The hardest thing for a person is receiving Christ. Because people have their own religion. So that's why we need to find ways how to present the gospel with a people having rooted in their false religion. In the Philippines, the 95% of people, Catholic people, they're serving many gods. And it's hard to tell the gospel about these people. And the Bible says, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we must walk in him. You know, in walking Christ, in following Christ, it is a righteous walk. It is a godly walk. Because many people today, they said they have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, but we cannot see them, the godly walk, the righteous walk. What's the problem? If we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we must follow, we must obey, we must read his word. We need to go to church. We need to read our Bible. And that walk, it is a life-changing walk. A walk in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ," because you receive Christ, "he is a new creature." God changed the inward man. All things are passed away. My life before, it's hard to go back there. Because Isaiah mentioned, it is that compares to a filthy rags. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According for 1 Peter 1:3, this life, the walk in Christ, according to Apostle Peter, this is a kind of life that we can obtain hope. We haven't hope in the world. Some people in the Philippines, they try to search. Here is what we call Fernand Marcelo Bridge. And some people try to jump. Because in this world, we don't have hope. People are hopeless. In this world, we can't find peace. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, we have this lively hope. And that life also, a life that has Christ, a life that Christ dwells in our heart, it is a life that has new desire. Because everything will be changed. When God changes the heart, God changes everything in you. New feelings, new desire, new set of friends, new work, new lifestyle. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. You know Mary Magdalene? She was crying because God has stolen. And the angel said, oh, woman, why did you cry? Do not look on the tomb. Just look unto heaven. Because Jesus Christ was ascended. Our hope is not in the world. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, this life, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, God changed. God will give us a new heart. It is not a stony heart, but a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give an heart of flesh. Meaning, a Christian ought to be merciful, ought to be considerable, ought to be compassionate. Just like what we did in Philippines. It really breaks my heart. When I was in Bible college, during our visitation, we passed through the streets and some children getting food from the garbage. I don't care. The money left in my pocket, I bought bread and gave to them. That's the greatest needs in Philippines. It really breaks my heart. That's why I really love children. And I believe also the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to the disciple, forbid them not to come. Jesus Christ said, in Luke 4 verse 18, you know, we are now saved. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart because Jesus Christ, while he was on this earth, he preached the gospel. He healed the brokenhearted. He preached deliverance to the captives. He recovered sight to the blind. He set liberty that are bruised. Because what Christ did to us tonight, I know. What we need, this salvation, this freedom, this liberty, Paul mentioned that we need to be strong with our Christian walk. We should look around us, what is people doing now? What we need right now is the challenge from the Lord. What we need right now is God touch our heart and start to look at these people and pray. And start how to win these people. First, it's hard to love the people if you don't know, if you don't love people. That love must grow in your heart. And that love must be the God, must be the love of God. Paul mentioned in Galatians 5, verse 1, we need to be strengthened our fellowship with God, reading Bible, prayer. And the Bible says, 5 verse 1, Galatians 5 verse 1, we need to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ. And look at the last phrase, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If that person really accepts Christ, he has a genuine faith, I'm sure he never goes back to the old life. Because Paul mentioned, verse 13 in Galatians 5, we have this liberty, we have this freedom, we will use this freedom to serve one with another. We should not use this liberty, freedom, to the occasion, to the flesh. But we need to serve. Use this freedom. We should not be comfortable of what we have today. You know what I mean? Don't be comfortable that you have job, your family, and do nothing for God. It's not the way. It's not a Christian way. Your job must be your ministry. Think about the job that we have now. If you're a teacher, professor, use that job to win people to Christ. If you're looking your job as a ministry, try to invite people from your office. Try to invite some teachers to church. And what we need right now, we need to be strong in our liberty. We should not be comfortable of what we have today. We need to go and join the fight. Christian life is a battle every day. We have 3 enemies. Number 1 is the self. Number 2 is the world. And number 3 is Satan. The number 1 enemy is the self. The spirit says, oh, you need to wake up early, fix everything, you need to go to church. But self, no, I want to sleep, I'm tired. But if we feel that we have need, people around us, how many people dying without the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we win Muslims? Try every now and then killing people. How can we win people, the Catholic group? How do I present the gospel? As we have Christ, we must walk in His ways. His way of living, His way of thinking. Christian should have a mind like Christ. I believe Jesus Christ has a heart for mission. Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When He saw the multitude, He felt the compassion. Our walking and relationship with Christ, verse 7, must be rooted. Don't expect faith will be established, will be rooted if you're doing nothing. To be mature in Christian life, it is not an easy job. To accept Christ, it is an easy one. but to be mature, to continue, it is hard. And the Bible says, verse 7 of Colossians chapter 2, this faith must be rooted in. You know, the functions of roots in the tree. We can see a healthy tree because of the roots. When problem comes, when trouble comes, we can remain stable, strong, because our faith will rooted. And it is a great challenge. And you know, and the Bible says, I don't know faith here in US, in your country, I don't think so. Because we always quote in our country, 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. When we apply that, if we don't have money, when problems, when pressures come, I have nothing to see with my people. Challenges in the church, we need to hang on. We need to hold on because we are righteous people. We are God's people. And we need to follow, to walk by faith. And that faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Our faith must be rooted in Christ. Our faith must be built up in Christ. Our faith must be established in Christ so that our Christian life will abound with thanksgiving. I know we have different we have different definition of abounding. When we say abounding, a word abound in the Philippines, not so much on what we saw in the table. When I say abounding in the Philippines, it's more on spiritual. But if word abounding here in your place, you can see any food. In fact, right now, in our refrigerator in the office, oh, a lot of food. Then, when I go to a China restaurant, I try to make get photo and share to my son, and he said, oh, I wish we could have that in the Philippines. Abounding, about word abounding in the Philippines, more on spiritual. And the Bible says, with thanksgiving, blessings will come, rewards will be achieved if we have a right walk, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, if our faith was rooted, if our faith built up, if our faith established, rooted and built up, established faith. Verse 8, you know, sometimes we deceive by people coming to us and sharing Bible. But you know, if our faith tonight, rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, no one or no people can be deceived by false teaching. That's in verse 8. Helps us to discern. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Our faith must stand. Our faith must be rooted. We must grow in grace. When people ask questions from us, every time I go, here in the Philippines, I don't have car. I have school service, but if I have some meetings, I used to ride taxi. So, some driver asked me, "Sir, are you a pastor?" "Yes." "Why? Why did you know me that I'm a pastor?" "Because the way you talk, the way you act, and that's blessing." Somebody, if we go out, somebody recognize us that we are a Christian. We must grow in grace. Our faith must be measured in the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measurement of our faith, not the one who sitting next to you, not your pastor, but the measurement of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the stature of the fullness of Christ. As you have therefore received Christ, we must walk in Him. And thank you so much for your time given to me tonight. And God bless you and the rest of the day. Thank you so much.